We are in the month of Elul, Chodesh Arachamim, the month of divine mercy. The month of Elul indicates that we are 30 days before Yemei HaDin, the days of judgment, the awesome days, the days of fear and trepidation. The month of Elul is designated for a month to take stock of oneself in order that when finally the court day arrives, so we are spiritually prepared and Be'ezat Hashem will receive a positive verdict. We'll receive Be'ezat Hashem a good judgment. The Gemara, when it refers to the mazal, the constellation, the zodiac of Elul, the mazal is Betula. Betula is Virgo. Betula is a young maiden, a young girl, like a young bride. They say she's Betula. In the Ketubah, when they write a Ketubah for a young bride, they say, Betulta Shepirta, the beautiful Betula. The month of Elul is called Betula. Why? I want certain explanation. In the olden days, when a girl would get married, there's two stages of a wedding. There's when the man gives the ring, Hare at Mikudeshet, that's called Kiddushin, that's stage one. And then there's stage two. That's when they put the talit over their heads, and the rabbi makes seven blessings. That's called Nisu'in. In the olden days, they didn't used to do these two stages at the same time. They would do Kiddushin, and then it says a year later, they would finish the marriage with Nisu'in. Not that you had to make two weddings. The Kiddushin was done in front of two witnesses, just so he secures his wife-to-be, and then they have a year to make the preparations. So the Gemara says, Notnim the Betula Yud Bet Chodesh. The Betula gets 12 months. Why does she need 12 months? So that she explains, because she needs to get all her jewelry and her makeup and the different things that a bride needs to prepare herself, to beautify herself for the upcoming wedding. That's the Gemara says, Notnim le betula yud bet chodesh. An almana, a widow, the Gemara says, they only have to give her 30 days. She doesn't need that much time. Anyway, the rabbis say that this Gemara is not only talking about the physical bride, but it's talking about the month of Elul. Because the month is called Betula. So it says, Notnim le Betula Yud Bet Chodesh. That if you take advantage of this month that's called Betula, as a result, you secure for yourself the next 12 months. That if somebody wants to have, Be'ezat Hashem, another year of life and beracha, so God gave you the Betula. God gave you the month of Elul. That's the year, the month of the year that if you take care of it correctly and you do what you're supposed to, but Nimlo Yud Bet Chodesh, not only can it atone for the past 12 months, but it can also be a good omen going forward. We must not delay this. I'm going to tell you a story in the Gemara. Maybe it's a story that you heard, but I want to offer a novel interpretation to it. There was a rabbi that they called him Nahum Ish Gamzu. Nahum, the man of Gamzu. What is Gamzu? Some rabbis say that that's the name of a place. There's a city called Gamzu. So like they say, Rabbi so-and-so from New York, Rabbi so-and-so from Bnei Berak, there's Rabbi Nahum from Gamzu. That's the name of the city. But the others explain, no. Because he always would say, Gamzu letova. He would always say, this too is for the best. No matter what happened to him. Anyway, so they nicknamed him. Nahum is Gamzu. The one that always says, Gamzu letova. This is too for the best. He had a good attitude. But what's not so well known is that at the end of his life, he suffered tremendously. I don't want to go into the gory details, but it says he became a paraplegic. He had no arms, had no legs. But Manan, he just lied in his bed, and he lived in an old house that was dilapidated, and he was very uncomfortable, of course. And it says the house was filled with all sorts of bugs. And the rabbis, the students wanted to take him out of the house. He said, Rabbi, you're such a tzaddik, at least you shouldn't live in such conditions. So the rabbi said, okay, you could move me, but let me tell you how to do it. First take all my possessions out. And then the last thing, take me out. Because as long as I'm in the house is not going to fall. But once I leave the house, the house is going to cave in. And that's what they did. They took him out at the end. The second they took his bed over the threshold, boom, the house came caving down. So the student said, Rabbi, you're such a tzaddik. Look at you, the house is standing in your honor. Why did this happen to you? Why is your end so bad, so miserable? So here begins the story. As I'll tell you the story, it says, V'chi me'achar she'saddik gamur ata. Lama alta lechakach? Why did this happen to you? Amar lahem, banai, my sons, ani garamti la'atzmi. I did it to myself. She'pam achat hayiti malech baderech lebet hami. One time I was going on the road. He was going to his in-laws. That's not why this happened to him. That's just a side point. He says, I was going to visit my in-laws, my father-in-law. And he had three donkeys. And he says, the donkeys were filled with all sorts of food. One had food, one had beverages, one had all sorts of delights. Ba'ani echad. A poor man came in front of me. Ve'amad li baderech. And he stood in front of me. Ve'amar li. And he told me, Rabbi, Rabbi, parnaseni, give me parnasa, sustain me, give me something to eat. Amarti lo. So I told him, Hamten, wait a minute. Ach efrok min hahamor, let me get off my donkey, and let me take off the food off the donkey. Give me a minute to get this food off the donkey. Lo espakti lefrok min hahamor, by the time I got the food off the donkey, Ad sheyatzah nishmato, the Ali died. And the rabbi says, I felt so bad. He said, it was my fault. He said, the eyes that didn't have mercy should be gouged. His eyes, he lost his eyesight. And the arms that didn't move quick enough should be cut. And the legs that didn't move quick enough. And the Gemara goes on to say, I did it to myself. This Gemara is so difficult to understand. He didn't tell the poor man no. He told the poor man yes. And he told him something very politely. Just give me a minute. Hamten, wait a second. Let me just take the stuff off the donkey's back. It's one thing if he would have told him, listen, I don't have anything. This is for me, my family. Go get a job. Take a walk. Then he said, then the guy died. So, oh my gosh. Then I understand why he should feel guilty. But he told him everything right. Wait for me. There's food over here. Let me unravel it. I'll give it to you. I'm going to tell you one interpretation that I heard from my rabbis many years ago. Although I have a hard time accepting this interpretation, but I will tell it to you nonetheless. The tzaddikim, Hashem judges them so strict. The more a person becomes a tzaddik, the more scrutiny his actions are judged. The rabbi would tell us, when a person is wearing a black suit, if he has a stain on it, you don't see it. But if a person is wearing white, even the smallest speck of dust is magnified. The tzaddikim, they're white. So even the smallest avon becomes magnified. So they explain the Gemara like this. He should have had the food in his hand. He should have anticipated. Maybe a poor man's going to come. So it takes time to take the food off the donkey. He should have had his hand in his pocket, holding on to the bagel. So when somebody says, Rabbi, give me panaza, boom, he's right there. So that's why he was saying, ah, it was my fault. I wasn't compassionate enough. I should have anticipated, maybe somebody's going to need the panaza, and there's no time to take it off the donkey. The reason why it's so hard to understand that, because every tzaddik has to walk around with a bagel in his pocket now. If somebody comes to you and asks you for something, oh, let me get it for you. Let me. If somebody comes to the businessman's office, the rabbi, please, we have a yeshiva, and we need parnasa. Ah, beautiful. Let me get my checkbook. That's avon. Well, he has to be sitting at his desk the whole day with a checkbook and a pen like this, waiting for the guy to come. Oh, I'm ready. Here you go. It's hard to understand that. I once heard another interpretation, which is a nice interpretation. Did you ever hear of the rule, Pat Besalo? I never heard of it. Pat Besalo literally means bread in the basket. What does it mean? When a person knows he has his bread in his basket, so he doesn't worry. What does it mean? Maybe this happened to you before. When a person is traveling to a place, to another city, and he knows in the city that he's going to, they have restaurants, kosher restaurants. So he knows he doesn't have to bring food, and he knows there's kosher restaurants there. So since he knows he has restaurants there, he doesn't get hungry. Because he knows it's there. But if he goes to a place, and he knows the place that he's going to doesn't have any kosher food, right away, from the moment he leaves, he panics. What am I going to eat? What are you going to eat? You just left. Yeah, but I'm going to a place for the door. When a person knows he has a backup, so already that calms him down. That's called pat besalo. When a person knows if he goes home, there's bread in his basket. Okay, I can eat later. There's always the food and the bread in the basket. But when there's nothing there, he always worries. And that worry causes him to get nervous, and causes him to get pressure, and can get him all sick if he doesn't control himself. So you know what the rabbi says? You know what the mistake of Nahum was? That he told them, wait until I take the food off. He shouldn't have told them anything. Don't say anything. When the guy says, Rabbi Padneseni, he should have told them, okay. So the guy would say, ah, he said, okay, good, I'm good, I've covered, I have it. But he told him, wait, let me go. Oh, now already he says, it takes time now. He shouldn't have told them what he was about to do. He should have just told them, you got it. Once he would have told them, you got it, it would have put him to at ease. Oh, you got it, that's it, I have it. But he told him, wait, let me see, let me get it. Oh, so already his mind is saying, I don't have it yet. So therefore that got him all pressured, and he died. But I came to tell you the real interpretation, that maybe this Gemara is coming to tell us a lesson in Teshuvah. The Zohar HaKadosh says that we have two parts of our body. We have the physical part, which is the body, we call that the guf, and we have the neshama, that's the spiritual part. We are very good at feeding the physical. We eat, we sleep, we clothe ourselves, we bathe, we buy things for ourselves. We love to spoil our body. Our body receives great precedence. But I'm sorry to tell you that the neshama doesn't always get the same luxuries that the guf gets. The neshama doesn't care about all these things. The neshama, its nutrients are mitzvot. Its nutrients are good deeds. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, in this world, you know who the boss is? The body. That's the rabbi. And you know who the poor guy is? The neshama. And therefore, the rabbis explain like this. The neshama comes to the body and says, Rabbi, my master, parneseni, give me something for me. You're just tending to your own ways. So the neshama, that's like a poor person, comes to the body and says, Rabbi, like the Gemara says here, Rabbi, parneseni, which means, give me something, do some mitzvot. I'm malnutritioned. The neshama is calling out to the body, I'm starving. I have a lack of nutrients. Give me something to supply myself, to sustain myself. And what do we tell the neshama? This is the problem. We tell the neshama, Hamtin, wait. We tell the neshama, we're going to get to you. Tomorrow. Be'ezrat Hashem, one day, we're going to be Shomer Shabbat. One day, we're going to fill the Tarat HaMishpacha. One day, we're going to keep Kasher. One day, we're going to study Torah. One day, we're going to give Ma'asir. Yes, the rabbis told us, you cannot go fast. You have to go very slow. And you don't want to go too fast because you might fall. So we tell the neshama, Be'ezrat Hashem, you're on our agenda. We plan to get to you. But what? Ad she'efrok min ha-hamor. Just let me get off the hamor. Our rabbis tell us, the hamor is the most base materialistic animal. When you talk about physical, the hamor has the most strength. We once took a donkey up a mountain. The mountain was steep like this, and the donkey so strong. The donkey represents the strength and the power of the physical. As a matter of fact, in Hebrew, the way we say materialism and physical is humriyut. Humriyut comes from the word hamor. So we tell the neshama, yes, hamtenli, wait a little, ad she'efrok min ha-hamor. Let me finish undoing the humriyut. Let me finish my physical achievements first. And what ends up happening is we never get around to the neshama. And the Gemara says, you know what ends up happening? Until his neshama leaves, and nothing ended up happening. The neshama leaves the world, and it leaves the world malnutrition, and we kept on putting it off and saying, tomorrow I'm going to start, and the next day, and that's the way of the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is a master of delaying the procedure of Teshuvah. So Nahumish Gamzu was telling us a lesson, not only in his life, but he was giving us a musar, because all of us have this conversation all day long. Every day we hear this subconscious in our brains telling us, Rabbi, Panneseni, why are you forgetting me? Why are you ignoring me? How come you're only tending to your physical body? What about me? And invariably we always go back to the neshama and we say, be patient. Hamtenli, Now I'm making money. Now I'm raising a family. Now I'm too busy. Now I'm on a vacation. Be'ezat Hashem, next year I'm going to start. That's it. Make a resolution. And next year comes and the Yeshayahu says, Be parneseni. Hamtemli. And guess what? The Mishnah says, Al tomar. Don't say, when I have free time, that's when I'll pursue religion. Don't say it, when I have free time. You know why? Because maybe you're not going to have free time. In English they say, don't put off to tomorrow what you could do today. Now they weren't talking about Torah. They were talking about making money and physical things. But all the more so when it comes to spiritual things, if you push it off, so then already you give the Yetzer Hara another chance to delay it even more. And then the more you delay, the Yetzer Hara brings another excuse and another problem that you have to deal with. And a whole life goes by and you keep on saying, Amtenli, wait for me, Ad Yatzta Neshmato, until the Neshama leaves. The Gemara says, whenever you see certain words in the Torah, the words represent concepts. Like I always tell you in this class, there are many different words that can mean the same thing. There's a Gemara that says, En ve'ata ela lashon teshuvah. Whenever you see the word ve'ata, ve'ata means, and now, that's a word of teshuvah. We don't know. And now is the word of Teshuvah. Because the explanation is, Teshuvah means, now you make Teshuvah. But as long as you keep on saying, next year, Be'ezat Hashem, the following year, I'm going to be better. No, I'm not ready for this yet. Okay. If we were going to live like Adam HaRishon for 930 years, then you could afford to say, next year, the following year. But nobody's going to live for 930 years. And nobody knows how long they're going to have to be able to push it off. And therefore the Mishnah says, you're not smart by pushing it off because you might not get to it. But I want to tell you a Hiddush. I don't know if you ever read the book of Kohelet. In the book of Kohelet, there's a pasuk that says the following. It's a very hard pasuk to understand. I'm going to read it to you. I don't have the book in front of me, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. The pasuk says like this: Holech el Tzafon. I take it back. Holech el Darom. Vesover derech Tzafon. Sover. Veholech haruach. Veshav haruach. What's this pasuk? A strange pasuk. If anybody can explain this to me, they get a big prize. It says, Holech el Darom. He wants to go to the south. But what happens? The Sovev el Safon. He turns to the north. Sovev. He turns. The Holech. Until his spirit leaves him. Veshav. And then the spirit returns. I know what you're thinking. There's no way the rabbi is going to explain this pasuk that I can understand it. Because it doesn't make any sense. No matter what I'm going to tell you, you're going to say, how did the rabbi interpret such a... He's going to the south. And he turns to the north. And he turns, and he turns, and he turns. Until his spirit leaves him, and then it returns to him. Veshav haruach. I think I once told you, in the Beit HaMikdash, we had two pieces of furniture that were opposite from each other. You had the menorah, and you had the shulchan. The menorah was the candelabra. You can see menorah over here? This is not a good picture of the menorah. They had a real beautiful gold menorah. And they used to light it every day. Every day in the Beit HaMikdash was Hanukkah. They lit the menorah every single day of the year, 365 days a year. Even on Shabbat they lit the menorah. across the hall from the menorah was a table. What did they have on the table? Bread. Lechem panim, show bread. Delicious, hot, piping, fresh bread. And every Shabbat, the Kohanim would take the old bread off, eat it, and they put the new bread on. This was the system. Our rabbis tell us, the table represents parnasa. It represents livelihood, sustenance. All the beracha of the money came from the table. That means there was a pipe in the Shamayim. When Hashem wants to bring beracha in money, comes down to the table, and from the table it goes to the rest of the world. The menorah represents what? Wisdom. Torah. Always light represents wisdom. Kiner mitzvah, the Torah or. So it says when God wants to bring wisdom and religion down, it comes from the menorah. Now, the menorah was on the south wall, and the shulchan was on the north wall. So listen to what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, if you want to become smart, and you want to become spiritual, when you pray the Amidah, you see your face east, but tilt yourself a little to the south, so you can tap into the menorah. Because when you pray towards the direction of the menorah, it brings you to that pipe of chokhmah, and you can have wisdom. But if somebody's not interested in that, they want money. So when they pray the Amidah, tilt yourself to the north. So you're facing the table, and you tap into that pipe. Be careful now, because we're watching you. When you pray the Amidah, we're going to see which direction you're praying. Now we know. You want money. That's why you're praying towards the table. In other words, I don't care about money. I want wisdom. I once asked Hachem Baruch, but what if you want both? You want both. So he says, in Shachrit, you pray towards the menorah. And in Minha, you pray towards the table. And then Arbit, that's the deciding factor. And Arbit shows you who you really are. Do you really want Chokmah, or you want this? But the rabbi then said, anyway, you should always pray for Chokmah, because with Chokmah, you can make money. Money cannot make wisdom, but wisdom can make money. So therefore, you're better off praying towards the menorah. But anyway, some people say, I don't care about wisdom, I just want money. I don't need that. Wisdom is what money. The wisdom means nothing to me. Anyway, that's the Gemara. I'm going to say the language now. It says, Harotseh le'achkim yadrim. If you want to become smart, yadrim. Go to the Darom. Go to the south. Harotseh le'ashir yatspin. If you want to become wealthy, face the north. Now I explain to you the Pasuk. The Pasuk in Kohelet, which was written by King Solomon, is telling us a truism of life. Holech el darom. You know what the goal is? To go to the south. The goal is to end up in the south, where the menorah is, where there's wisdom, where there's Torah, where there's... Ask any person, what's the goal? Southbound. Torah, mitzvot, religion, Be'ezrat Hashem, I hope I'll be very, very pious. That's my goal. Who doesn't have a goal like that? Even the person that's not there yet, he says, my goal is to get to the south. I can't, for sure. But what does he say? V'sovev el safon. He says, I just want to go to the north a little while. I know we have to get to the south. But I want to make a detour. So it says, Olech el darom. He wants to go to the south to where the Torah is. But v'sovev el safon. But he makes a detour to the north. And then what does the Pasuk say? Sovev, sovev. He's going to end up turning and turning and turning. And by the time it's all over, all his turnings, v'holech haruach, and the spirit is going to leave him, and he's gone, and he never made his way to the south. He got so caught up in the north, and then what happens? The neshama goes up to God, and God says, what is this? This is a neshama that wasn't fed. This is a starving neshama. We cannot accept this neshama into the next world. And what does the Pasuk say? Veshav haruach. God tells the neshama, you have to go back down again. You have to come back as Gilgul. You need to be reincarnated. And nobody wants to be Gilgul. This is, it's hard enough to come down to this place once. And we have to come back again to make another tikkun. And therefore, he's saying, Shlomo HaMelech, don't get caught up in the north. Now, we all agree you have to be in the north for a while. You have to make a living. But once you make an exclusive choice to stay in the north, and then you have to do them simultaneously. You have to be in the north and the south at the same time. You cannot say, well, let me handle the north first, physical stuff. I want to make money. Let me build a house. Let me get a car. Let me get a condominium. Let me marry up my children. Let me set up myself my business. Then after I'm 60 years old, I'm going to go here. Then he's 60 years old. He says, no, I need a little more money. I don't have enough yet. I'm almost there. And all of a sudden, sovev. I once heard a derash. Some of you ladies, I know you read Shira Shirim. That's part of your Sigulad, the month club that you're part of. The Sigulad that the ladies read Shira Shirim, I think on Friday nights. I'm not sure what they told you it's going to do for you, but it's a good thing. I'm sure it's doing a lot of good for everybody. You should continue doing it. It's for sure better than reading the magazines or the Jewish press or the whatever the magazines are. Anyway, in the Shira Shirim, in one of the chapters over there, it says, Uri Tzafon, Uboi Teman. You know that pasuk? Yes. Okay. And now what does it mean? Uri Tzafon means, get up in the north and go to the south. Uri Tzafon, Uboi Teman. So I once heard a beautiful explanation. When a person is lying in bed, he's sleeping, he wakes up in the morning, if he tells the Yetzer Hara that he's getting up to go to learn and to do mitzvot, the Yetzer Hara is going to tell him, go back to sleep. What are you getting up for? He's going to start fighting with him. But if you tell the Yetzer Hara, no, I want to get up to go to work. I want to get up to go, to entertain, to eat, to pamper myself. Ah, you're going for your physical? Yetzer Hara says, get out of bed, hurry up. Go tempt your physical. Once you get out of bed, then you tell me, it's, ha, 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 I was fooling you, now I'm out of bed, then go to the Beit Midrash. So the Pasuk says, Uri Safon, when you wake out of bed, tell the Yetzer Hara you want to go to the north, to the table, to the Parnasa. However, once you're up, Ubo Iteman, make a left turn and go to the south. Which you have to trick the Yetzer Hara. That's just a derasha. But my point is, not to delay. Rabbi Parneseni, says the Neshama. Give me Parnasa. And the answer we say is, Amtendi, wait for me until I finish with my Hamor. Listen to a Gemara that I found in Hulin. You're lucky today. You're hearing interpretations that I believe that are true interpretations of the stories of the Talmud. This is a big day for us. Whenever we uncover a secret of the Talmud, it's a day of celebration. These are age-old stories, and now we're able to, wow, it was right in front of us. Now we're able to uncover it. Listen to this one. For those that are following, it's page 105 in Gemara Chulin. Gemara says like this, Amar Shemuel, Ana, lehamilta hala bar hamra legabe abba. He says, you know what I am? I'm vinegar, the son of wine. My father was wine. He's such a good man. Me, compared to my father, I'm vinegar. Hala bar hamra. Vinegar, the son of wine. Right? The ilu abba, my father. Abba sayer nikse. My father was a businessman. He used to check his assets twice a day. He used to take inventory on his stock. Maybe he had a store, a retailer, whatever he was. He was my father. He used to take inventory twice a day. But I only take inventory once a day. Now, simple interpretation is, he's saying, my father was a much better businessman than I was. But that doesn't make any sense. The Gemara is talking about the businessman now. He's saying, my father was wine and I'm vinegar because he used to take inventory twice a day and I only took once. Continue. Shmuel continues and says, the Amar Shmuel, man de sayed nechseh kol yoma. Anybody that takes inventory every single day, mashkah astira, will find a silver coin. Simple interpretation. You take inventory, you're going to find, you'll make money. You'll find, it'll perfect your business. You'll find the silver coin. Abaye, Habasaye nechseh kol yoma. Abaye used to check his inventory every single day. Yoma had, that's the story. One day, paga ba'arise, didare patcha. He had a partner, like a sharecropper, a worker. The worker was carrying wood on his shoulder. He was carrying it to steal it. All of a sudden, Abaye comes into the field. He says, huh? Where are you going with that wood? Amale, hanedehecha. Where are you going with that wood? Amale lebemot. No, I'm bringing it to your house. Which means he covered himself. Oh, no, I'm not stealing them. I'm bringing them to the rabbi. Amale, kebad kadmuch rabbanan. Ah, the rabbis already preceded you. It's a good thing I came to check the field. The rabbis told us to check the field every day. If I wouldn't have came to check the field, you would have stole me blind. But you see that? The rabbis warned us, like for guys like you. One more part. Rav Aseh Abaseyin Nechseh Kol Yoma. Rav Aseh used to check his assets every day. Amar, Hechaninu Kol Ali Astereh Demor. Shemuel. The rabbi said, if you make inventory every day, you'll find a silver coin. He said, where are all these silver coins? I didn't find any silver coins yet. Well, one day, Hazar Sinurad Debetka Bar'eh. He saw one of the pipes in his field had a little leak in it. And he saw that the pipe was getting bigger, the hole was getting bigger and bigger. So what did he do? He right away took off his shirt and he made like a tourniquet. He covered the hole, and all of a sudden he screamed to everybody, Rabotai, Rabotai, please hurry up, we need help. We have to fix the pipe, otherwise it's going to flood the whole field. Everybody in the town came, they fixed the pipe. And the Gemara says, Ashkahtinu lekullu estereh demor Shmuel. I found all the silver coins that I was looking for. Look, if I didn't check the field, I would have lost the whole field. Baruch Hashem, what a good advice. Says the Hafetz Chaim. This is not talking about business. It's not talking about a retail store. It's not talking about anything. You know what it's talking about? Taking inventory of our actions. Taking inventory and stock of our deeds. Shmuel says, my father was great because he used to do it twice a day. In the afternoon, he used to take introspection. He used to look at himself. Where am I holding? What am I doing? Which mitzvah did I do today? Can I do the mitzvah better tomorrow? Which avirah did I do? And then before he went to sleep, he took stock again. He said, that what I accepted upon myself at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, was I good from 12 to 10 o'clock at night? Maybe I did sins today. And therefore my father was such a great tzaddik. He made introspection, he made hashbon nefesh twice a day. We're happy if somebody will make introspection on Kippur for 1 minute. And here the great tzaddikim, twice a day, he says, but I'm not my father. He says, I do it once a day. But then he said, I guarantee, anybody that makes introspection, even once a day, will find a silver coin. Which means, you'll always find something to fix. There'll always be a benefit. You'll always find something that you can better yourself with. That's a value. You shouldn't think, I'm a tzaddik. I don't have to make a joke. I'm basically good. But when you start to analyze your life, and you start to think where you're holding, he says, there's always a benefit to make this inventory check. You'll always find a silver coin. So then the rabbi tells a story. He says, yes. He says, one day, I was walking in the field, and I saw my sharecropper. He's carrying the wood. So I tell him, hey, where are you going? He says, no, I'm bringing it to your house. He says, the rabbis warned me. It's good I came. You know what the Hafetz Chaim says? Sometimes the Yetzer Hara, he comes and deceives us into thinking that we're doing a mitzvah, and really it's not a mitzvah. He has deception. And if you don't analyze your ways, you can get fooled by the Yetzer Hara. On that day, his partner came. The partner was a thief. He was stealing the wood. And what does he tell him? No, I'm bringing it to your house. I'm doing something good. They warned us about you, Yetzer Hara. If I didn't make this introspection, I would have felt for your shenanigans. I would have felt for your claims. And then the other rabbi says, I don't understand. I make introspection every day. I never found anything. Till one day he says, I found a little crack. And I realized that if I didn't fix this little crack, it would have flooded my whole field. That the rabbi said, sometimes there can be a small avera that we're doing, and if we don't fix that little avera, it can be the beginning and the end of our ruination. It can destroy us. The little avera keeps on growing and growing and growing. And therefore the Gemara is not teaching us a lesson in business. The Gemara is teaching us bo hashbon, to make the calculations. The reason why I tell you this today, number one, because we're in Elul. Number one, because we're getting closer to the days of judgment. But more importantly, there's been a pattern that has been manifesting itself over the past few years. And that is, God has been punishing the world through water. Just think of the different floods and the hurricanes that have hit the world just in the past 2 years or 3 years, from the tsunami all the way back, which was a great devastation that we never saw in our lifetimes. Go a little back to Katrina, which we saw devastated the southern part of the United States. Just look at some of the hurricanes that have ravaged Pakistan today and in China. And just look at some of the hurricanes that have even have come close to our homes here in New York and New Jersey. I'm not a weatherman. But if you ask the meteorologists, they'll say there's something going on with the water. There's a lot of water. More than we normally see. The Borei Olam is telling us a message through water. So we have to be hachamim and say, what causes God to punish the world through water? The Gemara says, two sins. The sins of the generation of the flood. It's very simple. Go back to history. Figure out when God brought floods. And nothing changed. It's the same formula. The Torah didn't change. There's no expiration date on the Torah. It's the same Torah 5,000 years later. Why did God bring the flood, it says? For two sins. Number one, theft. The people were stealing from each other. Number two, because of avonot that have to do with immorality. There was adultery that was rampant. There was no faithfulness in the marriages, and there was immodesty which led to this. That's the simple interpretation. It's not a midrash, it's not a zohar, it's not gematrias. It's written in the book. It says, ki hishit kol basar et darko. The human beings, they destroyed themselves. They lost their essence. I'll explain to you what that means. They became so degenerate. I explain. The Gemara writes, God made human beings look different than each other. No two human beings look like each other. Men and women, they all look different. Their voices are not the same. And they have different tastes. Your taste is not my taste. You like certain things, I don't like those certain things. Different tastes of different things. This one likes this color, this one likes another color, this one likes this type of food, this one likes another type of food. Taste is different. So the Gemara says, why did God do that? You know why He made everybody look different? Because Chas v'Shalom, if you all look the same, it would lead to adultery. Because we wouldn't know who our wife is, we wouldn't know who our husband is, everybody looks the same. So you don't know who belongs to you and who doesn't belong to you. You know why the voice is different? Same reason. The Gemara says, what's going to happen if everybody has the same voice? So the man is going to come home in the dark. So he looks different, but what's the difference? It's dark. The wife cannot see him. And what's going to happen? He sounds like the other guy. Everybody sounds the same. Oh, it's going to cause adultery. That's why, ladies, all cows look the same, and all cows have the same voice. You know why? Because God wants them to mate with each other. So we can have more cows. So we can have more restaurants. So we can have more steak. There, it's the opposite. We want them to, as long as they're going with each other, what do I care if this cow goes with another cow? It's a cow. God makes them on purpose the same. But when a human being acts like an animal, so God says, I created these safety features so you can be a human. And instead you're acting like an animal, you took something that was good that I gave you, and instead you're using it to lower yourself. So God says, measure for measure. I gave you water. Water is for living. But now I'm going to give you the water, and it's going to cause you, chas v'shalom, the opposite. Just like you perverted your ways from the ways of righteousness to decadence, I'm going to take the water, which is the source of life, and instead of being a beracha to you, it's going to be your ruination, it's going to be your downfall. Over the past 10 years, we have seen the world sink to great levels of immorality. I'm not only talking about the homosexuality that was legalized in our state. It's no coincidence that 2 weeks later there was a storm that ravaged millions of people and an earthquake that shook 80 million people. Only 2 weeks after this was passed, this is Gezerah B'Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's no question about it. But even the general way of the dress code, the general way of the society, of the married people, the way they behave, unfortunately, in the disloyalty in the world today, the divorce rate, which is bar minan, staggering, and many reasons because of these type of illegal behavior, this illicit behavior. But the Borei Olam is telling us something. So it's not enough for us to come along and say, B'zat Hashem, tomorrow we'll make the Shuvah. Borei Olam, what more do you want to do? The noose keeps on getting tighter and tighter and tighter. It keeps on getting more closer to home and closer to... What tsunami? That's in far away from us. Doesn't affect us. We don't go to that place anyway. Now what are you going to say? When the hurricane's in our backyard? Now what are you saying? Now it's affecting me. Now I have to leave my house. I have to go into exile. I have to move. I have floods. And it's happening more and more often. Don't take my word. Speak to the scientists. Speak to the meteorologists. Therefore, we must make teshuvah. But what happens? Rabbi, panneseni. Rabbi, give me panasa. And we turn to him and say, hamtenli, wait, wait. Until what? Until it gets closer? We don't want it to get closer. Already we should hear the alarm clocks. We should hear the inyanim. But for the woman, I want one message to tell you. Then I'll let you go. How did God create the world? He created with speech. He said, let there be, let there be, let there be. Words. He didn't use his hands. He didn't have to use his hands. No hands. He didn't have to use anything in an action. Verbally, he said, Vayomer, 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 boom. As he said, it happened. Abracadabra. Abracadabra. As I speak, it's created. Abracadabra. As I create, is the way I speak. That's what abracadabra is. But that's another lesson. That's abracadabra. Abracadabra. I will create kedabra as I speak. That's where they got it from. Anyway, leave it. I know it's the only thing you can remember from this whole class. It's unfortunate. Maybe I shouldn't have told it to you. What did the rabbi say? I said abracadabra. Anyway, listen. After Adam and Hava sinned, when they ate from the tree, God noticed that, they noticed themselves that they were unclothed. You see, before the sin, it didn't bother them. They were so holy that you didn't need clothes. It wasn't necessary. There was no innuendo. There was no immorality. It wasn't even a subject. They were so kadosh, the whole body was holy. So there was nothing taboo. There was nothing that was considered problematic or something that was considered not nice. After the sin, all of a sudden the physical body started to take a new look. And all of a sudden they got embarrassed. There's this uncoveredness. So what does it say God did? Vayaras lahem kotnot or. God made for them garments. Vayalbishem. And he dressed them. Ladies, do you hear what the Pasuk says? Vayaras. God made them clothes. When it came to creating the world, it says he just used his speech. When it came to making the tziniut, it says God said, I cannot only use speech in this. I have to actually do it myself with a ma'aseh. To teach us that the tziniut is even greater than the creation of the heavens and the earth. The heavens and the earth, yeah, let there be, let there be. God could have told Adam and Hava, I need clothes, let there be clothes. And all of a sudden, presto, there would have been clothes. Oh, ya'as lahim. God says, for tziniut, I have to get my hands involved in the procedure. And this is the Musar as well. Rabbi Panasini, the Shema says, please, Panasini, tziniut for the ladies. And Tenli, wait for me, B'nat Hashem. There's no time to wait. This is a very important Musar for us. Don't push it off till tomorrow. Hayom la'asotam. Today is the day that we have to do it. Now you have to do it. Ve'ata, in ata in lashon teshuvah. I'm not saying you have to make introspection twice a day, and I'm not telling you to do it once a day. Even though I would recommend that before you go to sleep, like we do, before you go to sleep, you make a calculation. Hatati, aviti, pashati. Say vidui. Just so you can clean yourself at the end of the day. The tzaddikim clean themselves at the end of every day. They clean themselves at the end of every week, every Friday. Before Shabbat, they go to the mikveh and make the shuvah. Shabbat is the letters tashev, which means repent. The tzaddikim even fast on Fridays because it's a tikkun, but I'm not talking about that. Tzaddikim, at the end of every month, the last day of every month, they have Yom Kippur Katan. Always at the end of every interval. The end of the day, they atone. The end of the week, they atone. The end of the month, they atone. Now we're coming to the end of the year. The last month of Elul, we also have to fix ourselves at this moment as well. Ladies, to be honest with you, you have not too much to fix. Most of you, Baruch Hashem, are fine, and you have a lot of good. But as I said, even the tzaddikim, when they made introspection, they found a silver coin. They found something. There was always benefit from doing it. But especially the women should make their introspection specifically in the levels of the tziniut. And then, Bezat Hashem, the clouds will dissipate, and Borei Olam will turn the water into Rashi Tevot Mayim. Male Yadenu Mebirchotecha. That God will fill our hands with His blessings. Amen.